How's everybody today? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Amen. Remember, if you're miserable, don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Stay home until you get filled, refreshed, and reset. Go lock yourself in the closet. Oh, we are entering a time and season of turbulence. But it's okay. God is still shaking. He's still exposing. He's still moving. Things are happening. That's why he's requiring me and you to be hidden in the secret place with him. The word tells us those who are hidden in Christ shall be protected. And we are in a time right now where there is a lot of confusion. There's a lot of delusion. There's a lot of deception. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit quickened me this morning, he said there's so much falsehood. There's so many false religions. There's so many false doctrines. So much misinterpretation of the Spirit through the Word of God because of man's carnal understanding. Not being filled with the Spirit of God, being able to get the true understanding and interpretation. Because you can't interpret the things that God has written unless God himself gives you the interpretation. Man's interpretation is short-sighted. It always is puffed up. It's always selfish. It brings pride. But when God interprets it and brings revelation, it brings humility. It brings the fear of the Lord. It brings trust. It brings awness. It brings awesomeness. The reality that we're puny and he's so big. And the reality of his love is so great that we have a hard time comprehending his love. And we're looking for love. We are always looking for love. The problem is people look for it in the wrong places. They look for lust instead of love. And they fall into the traps of the enemy. And one of the greatest traps that the enemy, of course, we know is backed by deception, is called false entitlements. People are walking around right now, false entitlements. It's incredible. We call it the selfie generation. It's all about me. Through technology. Through all kinds of stuff, even through education, all kinds of things are promoting self. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll go with me. It's a false entitlement attitude. It is a spirit. It is actually a demon. It has its own trinity, me, myself, and I. It's drawing many people out of the kingdom because they're easily offended. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, is everybody there? Praise God, let's speak it together. But know this, that in the last days, are we in the last days? Perilous times, turbulence, things are happening, shaking's going on. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Everything that can be exposed is going to be exposed. We are in that season. Knowing that perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control or control over self, which is the old man. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. And he says, from such people do what? Turn away, be careful, because associations bring impartations. People, places, and things. Even a 12-step program tells you about that stuff. But we're not 12-steppers. We're one-steppers. We step in and stay. There's only one step. It's called freedom in God's presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Only Jesus can free you. Only one that created you can free you. So we are in a culture right now of a false it's entitlement culture. It's an attitude of false entitlement is a false an attitude of false entitlement is influenced by the spirit of deception, but it's a spirit itself. A person believes that they have a certain privilege and access to things without earning them. Does everybody get it? Without earning it. This high they have high expectations of entitlement. They are false. These are also, they fall into a place of called false justification. They're always justifying why their entitlement should come. But it's wrong. It's false. They make excuses. There is a lack of gratitude in them. It is accompanied by a selfie culture, or what we call a welfare mentality. Is everybody okay? Philippians chapter 2. False entitlement. So it's spirit. You know, even the word says, no worky, no eaty. Philippians chapter 2. Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, you see it all over right now. And, you know, a lot of this was promoted by our previous government also, handing out free phones and all kinds of other stuff, trying to, all of these entitlements without earning them. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with getting assistance when you need it. But so many people con the assistance. Amen? They abuse it. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ and any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You cannot do this without reading the Word of God. It's impossible. This is the mind of Christ. And by the Spirit of the Lord, He releases the mind of Christ in the arena of revelation, illumination. He brings visions. He brings impartations. God desires that we all have a like-minded attitude according to what Christ is. Not a division. Listen, there's nothing wrong with different views. Amen? Amen? Because with multiple views, you can see, in fact, we have four gospels, and some of them have a different, every one of them has a different view. But it's still the same message, just a different view. But in that, there's nothing wrong with a different view. There's nothing wrong with a different opinion. But as long as the opinion is not backed by darkness, it must be backed by light. Amen. But the people don't discern that. Because if you do not have enough light in you, if you do not have enough word in you to discern what is being said, you can't interpret. You can't discern. You'll just go along with every little thing that's around you. You'll approve of even wickedness and evilness because there isn't enough conviction in you through the Word of God. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this what? Mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. You know, we are the offsprings. The Word says that it's hard for us to comprehend who we really are. But when He comes, He says, we'll be like Him. See, one of the things the enemy always tries to do is steal your identity. In fact, most people don't even have one. They identify themselves according to the ways of the world. Father, mother, sister, brother, employee, employer, businessman, so forth. Those are all worldly identifications. Positions, pastor, teacher, whatever it may be. These are all worldly positions. But there's a position of identity where we are Christ's that is totally different. And that cannot be established by anything but entering into the presence of God. When you fight for God's presence, you exchange your presence for His presence, identity comes. true identity. We've lived this world going, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? Everything is answered in the presence of God. That's where we have found another way to live, in the presence of the Lord. We have found another way to live in the presence of the Lord. Not in the presence of men, but in the presence of the Lord. That's an eternal presence. That's where things change in your life. Where there's a constant. You don't want anything to ever interfere with that. Nothing. You never want it. See, when you're in that place, you don't want nothing to contaminate the presence that surrounds you. The presence that's within you. Because there's a love affair that's beyond any kind of love affair or earthly love affair. It's an eternal love affair. It's a life. It's a life change. It's consistent. It isn't temporary. And in that consistency, your identity is maintained. But the enemy loves to come and sway. He loves to bring selfish things in. He likes to bring you to a place of woe is me, oppression. He likes to bring you to you and get your focus off of the Lord. He likes to bring you into a place of fear, debt, all kinds of things. That's his job, and he does it good. But when you are in Christ, in that arena, which is his presence, the power of Christ nullifies any attempt of the enemy. Any attempt. He can attempt to do it, but he can't penetrate. Somebody got it. That's why the word says, and the devil can't touch me. You can sing that song. Can't touch this. Doo-doo-doo. Hallelujah. Selfish ambitions and conceit. This is lack of understanding. It's lack of understanding of their needs. These individuals that are caught up in self-entitlement, they over-exaggerate. They've got an over-exaggerated sense of self-importance. They fantasize over of authority and beauty and brilliance. They're unable to compromise and to meet halfway with individuals. They're stubborn, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted. They're very easily offended. They always carry the presence of offense also. They are always threatened of their success. Does everybody get it? They are always threatened of their success. They are afraid that somebody's going to interfere with their success. Everything to them is a threat because that's a false entitlement. They're headstrong, forceful. But the problem is they deny personal responsibility. They like to blame others for everything. Well, if you wouldn't have done this, no, you still have a choice. Everyone say, I have the final choice. And God has the final say. In Galatians chapter 6. Reminds me of a bunch of politicians, you know. Self-entitlements. These guys get into office and think they ought to stay there forever. I think we need to change all that. 2 years and you're out, homie. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's speak it. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's called false entitlement, pride and arrogance. But let each one of you examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one will bear his what? own load. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. Say it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Nobody outruns it. That is a law, whether you are a believer or a heathen. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. In other words, if you don't let go. Too many people let go. Let go so easy. This self-entitled spirit has double standards. They request of others to do things for them all the time and with their demands, but they themselves maintain a lazy attitude. Don't look at your neighbors. They maintain a lazy attitude. And they also, most of the time, they're miserable. They can't reach that place of joy. The only time they get joyful is when someone does what they want, command them to do. But it only lasts for a little while. Because there's another command right behind them. Amen? They always want to start at the top and not the bottom. And there is no reality of reaping. None. There's no fear of God. None. In Romans chapter 8. The reason why there's no fear of God, because the presence of God is not with them. Where the fear of the Lord is, there's wisdom. And where the fear of the Lord is also, is God's presence. If the fear of the Lord is on you and in you, the presence of God is there. If it's not there, he ain't there. But then see, because it's carnal, in the self-entitlement arena, it's carnal intellectual. Everything is a common sense outside, according to worldly standards and carnality. But inside, there's difference. Inside an individual's false entitlement, self-entitlement, there's always torment, unrest, can't settle. Romans 8, is everybody there? In verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1, let's read it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Here it is. He's going to tell you. Who walk according to the flesh. Who do not walk according to the flesh. Excuse me. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So is there condemnation? Even if you're a believer, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But you're walking according to the flesh. Is there condemnation? You bet you. Only those who are walking according to the Spirit, there is not. And those who are walking according to the Spirit carry the presence of God. You can't walk according to the Spirit if you're not carrying the presence of God. It's impossible. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak to the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say righteous requirement. There is a righteous requirement. And that requirement is to be walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. See, what this false entitlement, that individual always thinks it's for everyone else, not them. Everyone else, not them. The righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's carnality. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They set their minds on eternity. They are living from the future to the present, not from the past to the present. They're not entangled with the affairs of the world of the present. They make sure that they stay away from anything and cut themselves loose from anything that would interrupt or contaminate the presence of God in their life. Because they are no longer realizing that they have a life. Their life is now in Christ. They don't own a life anymore because they were bought. Everyone say, I've been bought. You've been bought and paid for from going to hell. See, many people don't have the reality that there is a hell. Most people don't even believe in demons or angels. They just believe in religion. There's no reality that everyone will stand before the judgment seat of God and he's going to say, would you do what I gave you? Well, I was a good worker. I was a good daddy. I was a good husband. I was a good this. I was a good this. No. What did you do with my will? That was your will. What's my will? My will was to expand my kingdom. My will was for you to infiltrate. My will was to carry you, for you to carry my presence. Does everybody get it? Everyone said, I'm called to battle. My purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. My destiny is to infiltrate the world system and bring Christ. That's why you and I were rescued. Not to build an empire. Amen. Not to get in all the soulish arena, but to get into the spirit. Oh, glory. In this area, there's no sense of righteous requirements in these individuals. None. Nor did they desire to comprehend one. To sin is irrelevant to them. Their only desire is success. That is their most important. But when they are not fulfilled by sin or success, oppression comes. And they fall into a woe is me state of being. And then, of course, they blame others for the way they feel. Because they live out of an emotional state of the soulish realm. The soul has not been fully converted yet, but they're in the process of it. But many of them stop. The enemy loves to stop you in the process of completing something. So they're a partial converted soul, not fully converted. And in that, they make their decisions on everything that they feel. No longer decisions by truth. They make emotional decisions by how they feel. Everything you hear out of them, well, I feel this. Well, you did this. This is why I feel this way. So they even blame you for the way they feel. Everyone say, I have the choice and how I feel. That's why they're easily offended. 2 Corinthians 6. Self-entitlement spirit. Second Corinthians 6. In verse 11. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own emotions, affections. Now in return to the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Don't be unequally yoked with what? Together with unbelievers. He tells us, quit associating with people. Listen, if you're not unplugged from the world, then you're still carrying spirits. Everybody get it? Well, I don't feel any spirits. Well, how would you know? Have you ever been through deliverance? You'll know then. Have you truly, really gotten in God's presence? Have you truly ate the Word of God where light comes in? You'll know whether you got a spirit or not. Look in the mirror. See if anyone's winking at you in your eyes. Hallelujah. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. Idols. Who's the worst idol? We are. The one in the mirror. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them. I'll walk among them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. If they do this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And don't touch what's unclean. Don't even agree with it. And don't, whatever you do, approve of it. Why? Because then I will receive you and I'll be a father to you. And you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Individuals driven by emotional feelings, making decisions according to feelings and not truth, they're followed by false justifications because of the lack of humility. And their life is totally out of order. Things are out of order. The priorities are totally wrong. God is not priority. Money, fame, family is priority. How many of y'all know that everything falls in place when God's priority? Amen. Psalm 36. They live out of the butt syndrome. They're always saying, but. But we're the head, right? Not the tail. Always making excuses. Psalm 36. False entitlement spirit. Why has God given us this today? Because it must be understood and seen and recognized. Why? So you don't fall into it. So that you don't fall into it, and so you don't associate with individuals that are falling into it. Amen? 36, verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is what? No fear of God before his eyes. None. No fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil. In other words, he's still petting evil, still approving evil. No fear of God, no reality of consequences, and doesn't hate evil. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 6 and 7, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. So what happens, because in the area, fear is a major factor, in the arena of fear being a major factor, because that person is afraid that they may be found out. There's always a fear in that arena that they may be found out. And, of course, in the fear of failure. So in this area of fear, what happens is it begins to nullify in the area of a sound mind, because confusion comes. You know, did you ever see an animal when you turn around a corner and there it is and your headlights are on it? What's it do? Whoa! They don't know whether to run, stand, jump, get out of the way. They are in shock. They can't move quickly. That's what the spirit of fear does. It nullifies a sound mind. It brings confusion. And in that, it's associated with that self-entitlement spirit. Why? Because when it doesn't get what it wants, fear comes. Fear comes. It can paralyze that individual. Is everybody okay? James chapter 4. That's why they run in a lot of anger. Anger is one of the fruits of it. James chapter 4. They utilize anger as a manipulation. It's like a child that has a temper tantrum. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't get it because you're going to ask for it to fulfill your pleasures or your lust or your foolishness. He gives the example here. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is grace? It's God's plan of escape. It is not unmerited favor. You earn God's favor. This foolishness of doctrine that's wrong. You're saved by grace. I'm saved by his plan. And if I'm going to cooperate with his plan, I'm saved. If I'm not going to cooperate with his plan, I'm doomed. Therefore, submit to God so you can resist the devil, and then the powers of darkness will flee from you. False fulfillments are short and temporary. False fulfillments. And then what follows is resentment, bitterness, and anxiousness in an individual. Resentment, bitterness, and anxiousness when they are not fulfilled with this self-entitled spirit. Philippians chapter 4. Well, we're seeing all kinds of fruits of this thing, aren't we? Philippians 4. So what happens is there are fulfillments which are short and temporary. So because they're short and temporary, they become resentful, they become bitter, and they become anxious. Four. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. For nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, through Christ Jesus. This is powerful. There's no joy with these individuals. It's false. It's temporary. They have a sense of happiness, but it's gone. The only time that they're happy is when they're fulfilled. Because you've done the work for them. Does everybody get it? They're users. Then they don't even know it. There's no joy, only regret. They have false idols in their lives. And what they do is their joy is always associated with other people's expenses. Amen. Always anxious. There isn't a true connection with the Holy Spirit. Even though they call themselves believers, there's no faith. There's no peace. They live in a false reality. Always rejecting the truth and the way of escape. Even though they know the truth, they still reject it. Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. In verse 1. We are in a culture of entitlement, self-entitlement, false entitlement. selfie generation. Verse 1, it says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates. It's his truth. He meditates on the truth. Everything he does compares to the truth of God. Not because someone said it, but because of what's been written. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, his truth, and in his laws, his truth, he meditates day and night. He's going to be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. That means he's constantly drinking of God's presence, maintaining God's presence. You know, if you don't water a plant, you know what happens? It shrivels up, dies. So we're constantly being watered. It says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly, the rebellious, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the reward judgment, but sinner, nor sinners in the congregation of righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? They shall what? Perish. The selfie entitlements, rejecting godly counsel. They're too arrogant. They're too self-righteous. They don't think they need help. But when they do need help, they run to the ungodly counsel. They don't run to the God. They run to the phone, not the throne. They don't want to seek the things of God. They seek out man, God, ungodly counsel instead of godly counsel. And it keeps them in that state of bondage and consistent. They will get a fulfillment for a moment, but then it wears away. Then they blame the counselor for their advice. 1 Corinthians 6. But praise be to God, we have been rescued from this, God willing. And if you haven't, you see a lot of these things happen in your own life, you need to break a lot of this stuff off. It's real simple. God chastens those he loves, convicts us. I'd rather have conviction than his wrath. First conviction. First conviction, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Don't go to first conviction. You ain't going to find it. You should receive it, though. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? You see that? God looks at man's carnality unrighteous. He looks at their counsels unrighteous. Worldliness, entanglements, and affairs of this world. He says, but why don't you go to the saints where my government is established? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say to your shame, it is so, that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brothers go to the law against brothers that before and that of unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you to go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor transgenders, nor lesbians, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That is plain and simple. That's what God says, not what man says. And if you want to agree with God, that's a good thing. If you want to disagree with God, that's a very bad thing. That means if you disagree with God, then you approve of what the enemy says and not what God says. Does everybody understand it? It doesn't mean we hate anyone. But we realize that the person is the way that person is because of a demon in them. It's simple. That is a spirit. They weren't born that way. Hello? Everybody okay? In verse 11, it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed." Everyone say, "I've been washed." "But you were sanctified." Everyone say, "I'm sanctified." "But you were justified." Everyone say, "I'm justified." "In the name of the Lord," not by anything else. "In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I won't be brought under the power of any." Oh, hallelujah. Washed, justified, and sanctified in the Lord, nowhere else. Not by works, not by anything else. Amen? And I'm going to close with 2 Thessalonians 2. Oh, hallelujah. Chapter 2 and verse 5. We want the truth, right? Well, here's the truth. It's all written. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time." What's he talking about? The enemy will be revealed. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." He means the body of Christ that is still left here right now by the Spirit of the living God is restraining evil. Can you imagine when we're gone and the Holy Spirit's... Of course, the Holy Spirit will always be around, but the Spirit of the Lord is going to take us out of here. Amen. What's going to happen then? No restraints. Evil will have free flow to do whatever they want. So he says here, in verse 8, because when you and I are removed, it's called the rapture. He said, "Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan." And what does Satan do? He promotes all kinds of false religions and false doctrines. People have beliefs in all kinds of strange things. They pray to the dead, statues, trees, all kinds of weird things. Not realizing that there can be a true relationship with the Lord. Bunch of tree huggers. You know how many people are starving to death because they think sirloin, they named the cow, is their grandmother? You know? I mean, think about this. Because of all these goofy religions, they are starving to death thinking that Betsy and, you know, whatever, Arnie the pig, you know, all of them, believing that that's their grandparents are that have been reincarnated as an animal. Don't eat it. It could be grandma. I mean, are you serious? This is goofy. And then they have farms that they're farming all these animals, and they won't eat them. And they get on welfare. Thinking that they got an entitlement because they can't eat the animal. Anyways. That's plumb dumb. I've been in these countries where they worship and they offer all kinds of flowers to statues. Man, I went into this one place in Cambodia. Let me tell you, I saw the largest fried roaches, spiders, beetles. They eat anything. They eat those things. But they won't eat Betsy and all the other ones. Okay. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers and deceptions and signs and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who are going to perish because they did not receive or believe and follow the love of the truth. You know, you got to love truth. I love truth. But truth is not just what's written. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. That's why he's called the truth. People are still looking carnally at the Lord. He's not on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory. And verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe in the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But here it is. But you and I are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, do what? Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.